Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Okay, 3, 2, 1, hit it.
Chris Rongi, Amy Marks Kors, The Chris and Amy Show.
You know who it is.
Also, if you didn't know, this is called The Show.
Yeah. On 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Are we doing it?
I am.
Yeah, we're doing it.
You're a little lackluster this morning.
What?
A little fatigued.
What?
Sluggish.
What?
A viscous personality.
Feel great. Feel great today.
Do you?
We're almost there.
You're right.
Do you know what that means?
Yeah. It's Thursday. And you know what? I thought it was Tuesday for about 10 minutes.
That's wild.
Right?
I don't know what that was all about.
I think I had a stroke. So I started having a stroke in 2019, and then it stopped for a while, and I think it's coming back. Because, I mean, I don't want to speak lightly of those things, but I'll tell you what. Sometimes I literally don't know what's happening.
Right. Yeah, I know. And by you're okay. I think you're okay.
I mean, I hope so. One can only hope.
Worried sick about you. Amy Marks, Kors, Chris Rongi. Good morning to you. 314-436-7900. Join us. You can watch us on YouTube, Facebook, or Twitter. We're at Chris Amy KMOX on Twitter if you want to follow us, and you should. We also have our question of the week every week, and you can vote in that if you follow us. And we like to get your voice messages, too. If you're listening on the Odyssey app, there is a button that allows you to record and send a message to the show. And man, it's super cool when you do that.
Time now for the top of the order. The top three stories everyone will be talking about.
After the failure to launch the tornado sirens back in May during the disastrous storm, the St. Louis Emergency Management Chief has been fired. It's quite the debacle, and we will talk about that coming up.
And the Texas GOP has approved redistricting, and now Missouri might be considering it. We'll check in with Major Garrett, CBS Chief Washington Correspondent.
Cardinals took 2 of 3 from the Marlins in Miami, even though they dropped the finale last night. But their Florida road trip continues. They've got Tampa Bay. They are playing tonight. We'll have that broadcast at 5:40 and a 6:35 first pitch. It'll be right here on KMOX. So it took a little bit of time, Amy, before they made an actual decision on Sarah Russell, who was the chief of the city emergency management. And after those tornado sirens failed to go off, which undoubtedly, without warning, probably cost lives and injuries and that sort of thing. It took them several weeks to get to this point. I think we knew they were going to get there. Just a lot of times it's not possible or even legally a good idea to just fire somebody right away. You need to make sure all your ducks in a row and get it done. And that's what it looks like the city has done here with Sarah Russell, because that was a massive failure that happened back on May 16th.
And it seems that there were multiple levels of failure here, that there was miscommunication. There wasn't clear leadership when it came to sounding the sirens. It was an outdated tornado siren system. Somebody needed to be there physically to activate the sirens, to push the button. Why would you schedule any type of workshop where every single person in the office, in the SEMA office, is gone, is not on duty? Especially when we knew there was some kind of bad weather in the area. But regardless of that, even if it's 60 degrees, sunny, and no chance of a storm, if you're the city emergency management team and you have to physically sound an alarm, you got to keep somebody in the building.
You can't take everybody. Why not do it like this? And I'm half joking when I say this, but if you have to have the whole team at this seminar or whatever it was, you got to have somebody hang back, right? Why can't somebody come back after the event is over and say, okay, here's everything I learned, and just, you know, here's your homework.
I mean,
right? I mean, why not just it doesn't make a whole lot of sense for everybody to go to an event like that, which I am certain now will never happen again. I can't imagine that they ever make that same mistake twice.
I mean, an off-site workshop, and they were gone. They were off-site until nearly 2 hours after the tornado hit, and it was a major communication gap. And when you are the head of the City Emergency Management Agency, as Sarah Russell was, the commissioner, your main job is communication.
Yeah.
Communicating to your team, communicating to the dispatchers who communicate to the public. That's your job. And it was such a massive failure. And like you said, you have to do due diligence. You have to make sure you go through an investigation or an audit to see exactly what happened.
Yeah, you don't want to open yourself up to a lawsuit.
But I will say, you know how in the movies when someone robs a bank or there's a big political scandal, somebody's got to go to jail. You kind of knew somebody was going to get fired.
Yeah, head's got
to
roll.
But they did the audit, you know, to see who was the person who needed to get fired. And it makes sense that it's the person at the top. That's who it needs to be. They did the audit. It's mind-boggling, the lack of communication here. To be honest, Ranj, the tornado was a mile wide. It was in, an E3?
Three.
As it hit the city, as it hit the Central West End and North City, there were no tornado alarms. It was the middle of the afternoon. People playing golf in Forest Park, people picking up their kids from school, going on jogs, walking the dogs, coming home from work. And five people is way too many people to die. And it is a tragedy. And at the same time, I can't believe it wasn't more.
The size
of that tornado and how quickly it hit such a densely populated area, Ranj. I've talked to different people who were in the Central West End or in Forest Park when the tornado hit. And I like, where did you go? You know, how did you not die? I mean, when you see the damage the tornado did, look at those homes in North City that were just leveled.
I was on my neighborhood where the part of the neighborhood where I lived at the time was right on the edge of it. And there was a lot of damage in my part. A lot of giant trees on top of houses. And there was quite a bit of destruction. It was nothing like North City. But there were a couple of homes that I saw, and there were cars that were crushed that I thought, man, I mean, if somebody was in that part of the house or if they were... Mm-hmm. You know, in this car, they'd be gone, right?
But if
you go just a few blocks north of that, even, it was really bad. And those are some densely populated areas, too. So you're right. I can't. It's amazing more people did not get hurt and die in this. But still, it's a lot.
We know someone in our building whose car got lifted up, spun around, and she saw someone who lived in the community. She didn't know him. He didn't know her.
Yeah.
And he opened his door and was just like screaming for her to get out of her car and come running into his house.
Yeah.
You know, so strangers helping strangers. To be completely honest, I don't know what I would have done. I know you were in your car. You drove south. You drove the opposite direction.
I was coming up the off ramp on Kings Highway when it was over the park.
But, you know, we've seen videos of people who were in their cars. There were some construction guys on Lindell. Yep. In a pickup truck going, oh my gosh, we're in a tornado. There's another video of a woman and maybe a couple women in a car on Lindell. They just stopped. We're in the tornado. So what I know is I would have stayed in my car, maybe pulled over. The thing is, there were dozens and dozens and dozens of cars where trees had fallen on them and smashed them down to the chassis.
Right.
And that's where I'm like, oh my God, I didn't even think about that.
So like I told you, I was driving... away from the storm when it happened, because that was pretty immediate. I was listening to Michael Calhoun, you know, deliver the updates and talking about where it was. And then I came up the off ramp and I saw it over the park, and it was so wide that it almost didn't look like a typical tornado,
like a storm or something.
Yeah. I feel like I shouldn't go that way. And I was driving away from it and debris was hitting my car. So if you had been up north of that area, just a couple of blocks, it was, I mean, it had to have been terrifying. And for some people, it was and ended up being incredibly devastating. So, and you're right about in a situation like this, Amy, let's say it wasn't her fault. Like it wasn't just her failure, that mm-hmm. it was other people involved. Somebody has to pay a price.
Somebody's got to pay a price.
And even if it is unfair, I think to show the public that you're on top of it and that you are going to make sure this doesn't happen mm-hmm. again, somebody's got to go. Yeah. Somebody has to go after something like
well,
that.
Well, it's like Chuck Colson and Watergate. You could have sent a ton of guys to prison for Watergate, but right. you got to pick one guy. They picked. But the tornado, Ranj, the sirens never sounded. Here's the thing. The audit, most recent audit, found that even if these sirens had been activated, large sections of North St. Louis would not have been covered. They would not have been under the system's coverage, so they wouldn't have heard anything, which, like you said, even if Sarah Russell, the head of it, hadn't failed in this aspect, well, then who do you point to for that outdated, insufficient system, right? You got to point to somebody. You got to find somebody and say, who's in charge of this?
Yeah.
Is this a mayor? Is it a different type of city administrator? Who should have ensured that the system was sufficient? Secondly, and this is really shocking, on the evening of May 16th, the tornado, Sarah Russell, the SEMA commissioner, didn't even know that the sirens hadn't gone off until Mayor Kara Spencer said, what happened with the sirens?
Oh,
Mayor Kara Spencer had to ask Sarah Russell. Sarah Russell's like, what, they didn't go off? So not only did they not go off, but nobody knew that nobody pressed the button.
Right.
Nobody realized, hey, somebody in that office should have said, we were at a workshop and a tornado hit. Do you know who pressed the button? Hey, we were at a workshop, and I don't know where the workshop was, but we didn't hear any sirens. How did it not even occur to them to know that the sirens didn't go off?
It's a fantastic question. I don't have an answer.
Let's
for
say
you.
We That's... were all gone, and we're like, hey, the commercial button in Studio B.
If it's one of
who pushed the button for the commercials,
if it is your agency's job to make sure that goes off, mm-hmm. you know, I would think that's one of the things you'd want to check on.
Yeah.
And you should know if parts of St. Louis are not covered. Now, the fact that the sirens didn't really service everybody, even if they had all mm-hmm. gone off, that is a long-term failure mm-hmm. on the part of city's leadership. And look, I don't think it's unusual for whether it's St. Louis or some other city or a county. In a lot of cases, it is not unusual for city leadership or leadership of a county or a municipality or whatever to lack forethought, you know, to lack foresight. It happens, right? People think about the now. What can we do now? Oh, we need new tornado sirens. We'll worry about that later because it's not a thing right now that we have to deal with. The flooding that happened just a few weeks ago down in Texas mm-hmm. where they had been begged to do things and, you know, fix the emergency system there to warn people. And the people who lived there were like, we don't need to do this right now because we don't need to spend that money on this. And then it turned into a devastating flood where all these people died and all these properties were ruined. So it's just the lack of foresight that happens in situations like this is really frustrating because people are too focused on right now and not what could happen a year or two or three from now.
I think, you know, like we said, what was it? The 50s was the last time a tornado tore through the city of St. Louis. Yeah. And when you have long spans of time where a certain emergency doesn't happen, it does breed complacency. It does
absolutely.
In all sorts of areas of life.
No question. Matt Pauly will talk Cardinals with us at 10 o'clock. Major Garrett at 10:30. We'll talk Festival of Nations at 11 today with David Gonzalez from the International Institute and the producer of Austin's Pride. This is what Amy went and saw last night in Kirkwood. Mm-hmm. Aaron Craig is going to join the show. It's all coming up on the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Text messages 314-436-7900. And as we were just talking about the termination of Sarah Russell, who was the SEMA director after the failure to have the tornado sirens go off back in May, we were discussing that situation, and a text message has come in that says, in a day and age when cell phones give a faster and more accurate warning, sirens are really non-consequential, and focusing on this 1940 system is a waste of time and money. And I appreciate that thought, and I think this person is right for the vast majority of people, that we do have the cell phone, we do know, we get those warnings, we get the, hey, inclement weather is coming your direction right now. We get that, right? But not every person either has a smartphone, has a mobile phone, or has it with them in the moment. I mean, you could be talking about a bunch of people who were outside doing things outside. Maybe they left the phone in the house. Maybe they were in the house with the phone, but the room that they were in their home doesn't get good reception. There are all kinds of reasons that a tornado siren is still valuable to people.
Yeah. So, and I have heard this too, and I've heard people, like meteorologists even, like talk about, well, the siren system is not the primary form of communication. And I get it, but maybe it goes from being primary to supplementary. And like Ranj said, if you're outside, to be completely honest, this storm popped up so quickly. People were on the golf course. If you're out running in Forest Park, you don't have your phone.
Yeah.
If the alarm goes off, it makes you realize I need to take action now and I wouldn't have known it. I actually talked to a woman in Clayton who was, she's, I guess it was technically St. Louis City. She's on the Forest Park side, the Skinker side in St. Louis. And she was outside gardening. And she was out in the back part of her yard. And she was older, so not like a super fast mover, right? Not going to run from the yard. And she said she was outside gardening because it was sunny and it looked nice. She was in the way back of her yard in the garden. She realized she forgot something. Now, she didn't have her phone, but she realized she forgot something, went to go walk to the front door. And as she got close to her front door, the sky turned green, the tornado swept through. And she told me that if she had not just by chance been walking towards the front door, she wouldn't have made it inside in time. And she lost 15 trees in her yard and the backside of her house, all the brick got thrown off. She could have died. And that's one of those things where if you're out in the garden like that, a siren helps.
And she did not, she didn't hear sirens, obviously.
No, there were no sirens.
And that was the thing the next day when we were doing the show. There were a lot of people who texted in and said, I didn't hear any sirens. Why didn't any sirens go off? Because I think it took a little bit of time before we started to realize that that was a failure, that they did not go off. I had just heard from a person here and there, like, I didn't hear tornado sirens. What's going on there? And I didn't, I did not know it. I was in a car at the time it hit. So I don't know if I would have heard them anyway if they went off.
So I will say this, and I know we're running short on time now, but Dave Murray, meteorologist, he has for years said the system that we have here in Missouri is that if there's a tornado in one county, the surrounding counties, all the adjacent counties, sirens go off. And that's a terrible thing because if there's a tornado in South Jefferson County, North St. Louis County, the sirens will go off. Well, of course we're not going to take action. And we definitely have a boy who cried wolf mentality when it comes to sirens here. I wish with sirens, I wish they would say only if it's in your county that the sirens go off, because you're right. If I know that there's a tornado in Jefferson County, well, you don't need to take shelter in St. Louis, North St. Louis.
Right.
But the alarms will go off.
Yeah, this. I don't think this is unusual, though, with the tornado sirens.
I don't know.
I think it's countywide in a lot of places around the country.
But, I mean, these are even different counties. That's where it shouldn't be different counties.
Right.
At least should be in your county. And I will say, when I was at Hanley and Wydown when the tornado hit, the sirens in Clayton went off for for a while, but that was like 20 minutes before the actual tornado hit. And I guess the sirens hadn't gone off yet because the tornado formed right there on Hanley. Literally, the funnel came down a half mile from my apartment, but it formed there. So maybe those sirens wouldn't have gone off. I'm not exactly sure. But by the time that funnel touched down at Big Bend and Wydown, North St. Louis City and Central West End, those sirens should have been blaring.
That's Amy Markscores. I'm Chris Ranji. Amy, she loves to read for fun, but apparently fewer and fewer people like to do that and what it means for you and for your kids, too, because there are effects of that. Also, how do you feel about airplane concerts?
Do you like jazz?
I got a real problem with jazz on a plane.
You like jazz?
You like smooth jazz?
Yeah, we're going to get into this, too. It's Chris and Amy on KMOX.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Watched this show every afternoon on PBS.
I don't want to brag, but I have met LeVar Burton.
Did you meet him in his Reading Rainbow days or his Star Trek days?
Post-Star Trek days. Wow. So this is probably about,
I love LeVar Burton.
10 years ago.
You know, back in the 80s and 90s, girls used to wear headbands a lot. It's probably coming back now, but I would put the headband, I'd put it down
around your eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretend that I was his character in Star Trek.
What was his name? Geordi? Does that sound right? There was somebody named Data. Was it Geordi? Yeah, I knew it. Thanks, Frank. Frank Ladd. Frank Ladd with the assist. He loved Star Trek, The Next Generation.
Wow.
Yeah, he did.
Well, at any rate, I love that show. Also, did you ever... I was a little old for this, but I had little brother and sister. So PBS was on in the afternoon. Love PBS. And we would watch Wishbone, about the dog that would act out classic novels like Pride and Prejudice, which I saw last night, or Sherlock Holmes. And so, and the dog would always like get into trouble or solve mysteries. He was
Amy,
a Jack Russell Terrier.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, you're too old. It would be weird because you'd be like 20 probably
watching
it.
Wishbone.
It's about a Jack Russell
I'm really
Terrier.
Thinking about getting into SpongeBob.
Well, that's kind of adulty.
I never watched it.
Yeah.
And everybody talks about how great it is. So I feel like I missed the boat and need to get on it.
So I want to get this story over with because it hurts. No, because it hurts my heart. It poked my heart.
Okay.
It hurts my heart. It makes me so sad. I could cry. It makes me want to run away. So reading for fun in the U.S. has fallen by 40%. A new study says over the last 20 years, the number of Americans who read daily for pleasure has seen a massive decline, especially in the past few years. Even worse, reading to kids at an all-time low. You know why? Gen Z parents, didn't realize they were parents already, Gen Z parents say, quote, it's not fun. So not only do the current generations, I'm assuming millennials are part of that.
They would have to be.
We're subject to the enchantments, the enticements, and the drug that is social media, and then Gen Z as well. Gen Alpha, who knows if they even know how to read. They can just say, hey, ChatGPT, read this book for me. But Gen Z parents are not reading to their kids. The number of parents reading is at an all-time low, with fewer than half. So only about 40% of parents of kids 4 years old and younger are read to frequently. In 2012, that number was 64%. Again, what's happened since 2012? Well, we know there have been other things to take our time and attention. But Gen Z, which is those born between 1997 and 2012, are significantly more likely than millennials or Gen X to view reading as just a subject to learn rather than an activity that you would ever do for fun or ever do for pleasure or ever do as an enriching activity. So again, Gen Z just sees reading as a subject. Why would I read? That's like algebra to them.
You know what's interesting about this is with social media, I see a lot of people post about the books they're reading. So that's not data. That's not, that doesn't give you an indication of how many people are reading, how many people are interested in it. But I do find it fascinating that I see a lot of posts about, you know, people taking a photo of the cover of the book they're reading or the book they're reading and they got coffee next to them. Like, this is what I'm doing right now. Unless they are just pretending.
Well,
I don't know. It seems like there is interest in it, at least on that superficial level.
Yeah, and I'm probably friends with more millennials and Gen Xers. I mean, actual friends. I have a lot of Gen Z, I call them kids, but I guess they're parents. But I have a lot of Gen Z kids that I know just from growing up, being involved, tutoring in the homeschool community, my friends and their kids. So I'm around a lot of Gen Zers, but I would say my peers, I see the book posts with millennials more than Gen Z. And I also wonder, well, are they... Like, of course, my dad would never post what book he's reading because everyone would say, who cares? Everybody reads. Is posting a book kind of a flex? Look, I'm doing something smart and unusual.
Yeah.
I'm reading.
So maybe that's it.
Because it is a personality.
Maybe it could be because maybe it's a thing where you post because you want people to know you.
Tumble bragging. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, hey, look what I'm doing. And I'm better than you.
Yes. I mean, I kind of
because this is how
is.
You are. You're always like, I read this book, you know, just to brag.
Don't post on social media. I just
tell
about
me about
it on KMOX.
It.
I say it on 50,000 Red Hot Rods.
Oh yeah, this is totally different than
yeah. But my caveat is, and I don't have any friends. It's so funny because again, in Pride and Prejudice, one of the daughters, Mary, reads books and is a total prude and has no friends. And I'm like, whoa. Just calm down. It's not me. I'm not Mary, okay? At any rate, I took it personally. It's weird. Have you ever seen a character in a play and just you took it really personally? But
like they were talking directly at you?
Well, like here, let's make a hilarious character based on Amy. Everyone will laugh at this person. She was a total loser.
What a dork.
What a dork. Mr. Darcy, not in love with Mary. At any rate, it does make me sad. So obviously with homeschooling, like read a lot. Like I read a lot. I'm not joking. I bet I read 6 to 8 hours a day. When I was 10, 11, I loved Nancy Drew. Mm-hmm. And back in those days, you went to the library and I would go to the library. And I remember when the internet was invented, then you could go online on this very rudimentary website and check out the books so that they were ready for you to go pick up. And I read through all of the Nancy Drew books. But then when I helped homeschool other kids, a big part of it was just reading out loud. Because even if you're reading a sixth grade level book and the little first and second graders are running around, they're absorbing it. I always say the youngest kids have all the advantages. And I feel like that's like, yep, the youngest one has the advantages because they get to hear the discussions and the books and the storylines at a much younger age.
You know, this whole conversation, I can't help but think about people who are in my generation too, who are Gen X, who have raised kids, who I have seen to shut their children up, throw an iPad at them. And say, just do this. And I know that they let them look at the iPad late at night before they go to bed too, right? So maybe there wasn't a whole lot of reading. It was just like, I don't have to read. Mm-hmm. All I have to do is give my kid this thing that will entertain them and they're quiet. Okay, great. This is fine.
And it doesn't, it doesn't.
So I think it starts there.
Yeah.
It starts there with my generation. And then it is going to continue probably to worsen. Mm-hmm. But there's got to be a correction point at some point, isn't there?
I hope so, because Ivy League schools, there was a story in The Atlantic last year. It was the Ivy League students who have never read an entire book. They were never asked to read an entire book. Now, I read a ton of books, but of course you had classes where, for efficiency's sake, you read excerpts. But we also read full books. But there are the kids, either they're reading excerpts or they're using advanced, even if it's not AI, but advanced, you know, internet cheat sources
yeah.
to pretend like they've read the book. And kids are good at it. I mean, kids can make it sound like they've read a book when they haven't. And it just, it's so sad to me. I mean, it was a couple of years ago, you know, I read the entire, like the Chronicles of Narnia and a couple of C.S. Lewis books in that series.
The
Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. No, no.
You hear this lady bragging?
I read it out loud to an 11-year-old.
Oh.
And we would talk about it, right? And they would say, what's that word? Why do you think that person felt that way?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That is...
There's a lot of value in that.
There's so much value. So yep. you can't say, well, what's the difference? What if they just watch a movie? Or what if they just watch the summary?
Yep.
There's
a little more critical thinking that goes on when you have to go through
and
that.
And emotional immersion.
Of course. So this is, we're interested to know about you and what you have done and what you do in regard to this. Do you read to your kids or did you? And I imagine that we're going to get a lot of people who are in the older age brackets who say, well, I totally read to my kids. But if you're younger, I mean, if you're, you know, 30, 35, in your 40s, what did you do or do with your kids? Let us know. Text us at 314-436-7900. You can leave voice messages on the Odyssey app as well. Amy, yes. Did you hear about this thing that happened?
Well, you got to be more specific than that.
On a plane.
We're just hanging out and we were all lamenting, all the passengers. And there was this one flight attendant named Charlene who was just having fun with all of our guys during the flight. And she said, I saw you bring on your instruments. I know they're in the overhead compartment. Why don't you play us a song?
Okay. So that is Dave Cause. He's a saxophonist. He, very, very good, by the way. A St. Louis based musician. He and his fellow bandmates, Dave Cause and the Friends Summer Horns Tour, they were going to Seattle because they had a couple of days of shows out there. So they're on a flight and... because their flight was delayed, and at one point they were diverted to Boise. They had to hang out there. So they're on the plane stuck, and a flight attendant, he says, asked them to get out their instruments and start playing for the plane. Okay. Let me just say this.
So this was the flight attendant's idea.
Yes. Yeah, so let me just say this, okay? I think this is a terrific group of musicians. Mm-hmm. They are very, very good. They're really good, and I would go watch them play.
Yeah,
I don't know I want this concert on an airplane.
Listen.
I don't know that I want people to just break out instruments without asking me first.
Yeah.
I didn't get on a flight to listen to the horn section.
Well, that's what I mean. I don't know many situations where you're cramped, you're tired, you're stressed, your plane has been delayed, you're shoved and stuffed and sardined next to people. You don't know. It's going to be a while before you even start your journey to your destination. And so your nerves are frayed. And then someone says, you know what you need? A horn section. That's what you need.
Look,
you need some brass instruments.
It's kind of a small tube. And you know how sound works? I don't know, man. I'm not digging this. We've seen... videos of a group of singers, like a choir, and they're delayed, and they decide, you know what, we're going to all break out in song, and you all have to listen to it.
Poor little girl that like sang, did karaoke over the intercom. Her parents should have stopped her.
I don't remember that.
She's like 12, 11, and she wanted to sing. And here's the thing, just don't do that when people are on a plane. Like you said, you're in a tin can. Honestly, this might be the worst, most upsetting segment we've ever done.
It's one thing to go to a bar that has live music.
Love
you
it.
Know going to the bar, there's live music. When you get on a flight, you're thinking, man, I'll just nap. I want to relax. I want to chill. I don't know if I want this music. I got on a flight from Dallas and we were going back to Chicago. And before the flight started, they made an announcement, and I don't know what the band's name was. There were a couple of guys, and they were like, the so-and-so band, and it was some up-and-coming group, and they're going to perform for you. And they had the flight attendant microphone thing, and then an acoustic guitar, and they played at the front of the plane. And
livid.
We were hungover. I'm like, dude, we don't need this.
Listen.
This is bad. However, Amy, it was some sort of Southwest Airlines deal with the band, and Beats headphones, you know, Beats by Dre. So everybody on the plane got a gift bag with Beats headphones.
Well, that would be worth it.
That would be.
Those are like $400, aren't they?
They were earbuds.
Okay.
And they were pretty good. So in that case, I'm like, oh, I could deal with this. I got free Beats.
Listen, that made it worth it. But here's the thing. I love Peter Cetera. I do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had a cutout of him at my birthday party because it's hilarious. But here's the thing. If Peter Cetera stood up at the front of a plane that was delayed for 2 hours and started singing into the flight attendant's intercom, I think I would just yell, Peter, stop, stop.
You would not.
I think I would.
I think, you know who can get away with it right now with me?
I do.
Liam and Noel Gallagher.
Yeah.
If they start playing at the front of the plane.
I hope they do.
By the way, if they're on Southwest, they're on a Southwest flight, wherever they're going, 1 week from today, the show, they're coming to the United States. Oasis, 1 week from today at Soldier Field. Daddy's going to be there.
Okay.
I cannot wait. Week from today, Oasis. They haven't broken up yet. It's going to happen. This concert is going to happen. I cannot wait. Let's go. Are you excited for me?
I am.
What are you laughing at?
I just remember the most random story of like a friend on a Southwest flight who's like, you're never going to believe who's on this flight. I'm like, who? He's like, Louis Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam. I'm like, they fly Southwest.
I would think you would fly a little.
I feel like they would fly private.
Yeah.
But it was really random. He's like, remember that time I took a flight with Louis Farrakhan? What? Southwest,
did
baby.
Did you see this? Oh, is this little cigarettes and alcohol?
Rock and roll star.
Oh, it's rock and roll star. I can hear it now. Yeah, baby. Let's go. 1 week from today. Chris and Amy on KMOX.
Now. Did you see this with Chris and Amy?
Ranj,
talk to me.
Two words for you. Radioactive shrimp.
I love it. Love radioactive shrimp.
So Walmart has issued a recall of certain types of great value raw frozen shrimp because it's contaminated with cesium-137, a radioactive isotope. As Axios points out, this, quote, this is not your chance to develop amazing crustacean-based superpowers.
You know, it's funny.
So don't eat it.
I'm glad you brought this up because somebody earlier had texted about the radioactive shrimp and it, you know, had nothing to do with anything. They just texted about it.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. And you can text this too at 314-436-7900. But you're not the only person worried about this.
They were sold in Missouri. Alabama, Arkansas, Florida, Georgia, Kentucky, Louisiana, Missouri, Mississippi, Ohio, Oklahoma, Pennsylvania, Texas, and West Virginia. Well, radioactive shrimp, baby. This is how it begins. Nobody pictures shrimp taking over the world.
If you eat radioactive shrimp,
yes.
Do you develop superpowers? Is this how you become an X-Man?
You didn't even listen to what I said.
Is this how you become an Avenger?
No, that's what I just read. I quoted Axios saying, this is not your chance to get crustacean-based superpowers.
So you don't get to become like Thor?
No, they said nausea, illness, and death.
I don't want that.
Yeah. And so far, they said, to be clear, they haven't found any radioactive shrimp. They just believe they could be radioactive in the United States, I think.
Yes.
But, you know, they're recalling it because somewhere in that batch, the shrimp got wonky.
What? That's my favorite way to prepare shrimp. I love wonky shrimp.
It sounds good.
It's so good.
Sounds like when you mix all the seasonings together. Hey, have you ever tried my Dave's wonky shrimp?
This is like, it's kind of like when you go, have you ever done the thing where you go to a fast food place or something and then they have the soda fountain out where you can get your own and then you just get a little bit of everything in one cup?
Yeah, but I never would put all the sodas in one cup. That's weird.
What's that called? There's a term for that. If you know what that term is, where you get your cup, you get your ice, and then you get a little bit of each of the sodas into one cup, tell us what you think that is.
Is that it? Is that the end of your story?
That's the end of my story.
Oh, well.
I need to know. Let me know. 314-436-7900.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery.
why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.